Welcome back to the Sights On Podcast. This is Luciano and Alex for episode number 15. We're celebrating Veterans Day. This is a very important day and to celebrate those who have served this country. It is one of the most celebrated days in the United States because our veterans are very important because we wouldn't be here without them.
Yeah, I definitely would say it's not even really celebrated enough as, like, it should be sort of, like, I think, like, a 4th of July type holiday where, you know, everyone is off and, like, some fireworks go off. Not really much happens. It's just a federal day off, I feel like. I feel like it should be more treated like 4th of July. Why not? Make the holiday, the October, November, December, even better, you know, as it's coming up, I think. I don't remember the day. Do you remember?
November 11th.
November 11th. Why don't we have shoot off some fireworks, you know, celebrate, yeah. You know, Veterans Day, make it even better. So, That's all I got.
I know so many current service members because we graduated high school with many people that wanted to dedicate their first years of their lives into the military, and we would like to share them some of their stories in a couple of bits. But we want to thank those who have served for this country. It means a lot because we're here today. We can live normal and free lives, and it's amazing.
Yeah, thank you for your service, for everyone that's has served or still serving today, whether you're Reserve, Coast Guard, Space Force, Marines, Air Force, Navy. I think I got them all. Did I get them? I think.
Did National Coast Guard.
Yeah, Coast Guard. Yeah. Any service, you know, super appreciative for you protecting, defending our nation through all the ways y'all do. It's super appreciative. I don't think our armed forces get enough appreciation, so definitely appreciate them. You know, thank the first service. See one with a hat on, especially those old, like, Vietnam vets, or when they have a Korean hat, you know, it makes their day to tell them thank you for the service, which they obviously, you know, especially those ones that went overseas to somewhere like Vietnam or North Korea, like Korea, really makes their day when you go out there and, like, tell them thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Small gesture, but it means a lot to them.
Yeah. I always love talking to people in the Army because they have very fun stories to tell you about, especially boot camp, like the newer ones, like their boot camp stories are amazing, and older ones, what they've done in the other countries, their service, and it's always fun too.
Especially how much boot camp has, like, changed from, like, someone that was in, like, Korea, World War II or something, to now, like, today.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. Both of us, we've never been in the military, but we've learned from other people's stories, and I think we can share them and learn from them too. Like, we can share their perspectives and then just dissect them. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely my backup plan. You know, if my broadcasting fails, my career doesn't go anywhere. That's my backup plan. Military, because it's got good benefits and it's got standards. So
yeah.
And it's not going anywhere. It's a job that's not going to fire me unless obviously I do wrong. But yeah. If I do my job, I'm not getting fired. So
yeah, I almost went into the Army before. Like, I was going to graduate and then go to a 4-year. Then go into the Air Force. I was almost did that.
I could definitely see you in Air Force.
I almost was going to be a pilot. I actually had a flying, like, trip.
Is that where you're doing those lessons? Those flying lessons? I didn't know that. You didn't tell anybody in high school that you were thinking about that.
Yeah, I was almost going into, because I love flying. Like, it's like the most amazing thing that you do. But then I decided doctor. I can't put that to sleep. So I want to become a doctor. Maybe serve as an Army doctor in the future.
That's true. You could could be an Air Force doctor. I mean,
maybe. Yeah. But I want to put that on the side for now, because I need to be a good doctor before I can think of the military.
All right. Well, before we get into that, what are you doing this weekend, Luci?
Ooh, this weekend. I always say there's a test. There is always a test for a medical student. So I have organic chemistry coming up. And that is a beast by itself, so I'm going to dedicate this weekend to that. Other than school, I'm practicing piano, playing tennis, and, yeah, spending time with parents at home. I mean, nice. I want to spend time with family, and, yeah, I think it's a relaxing weekend.
Nice.
You?
Me? You know, I'm going to Avery's this weekend. And then after that, once we get back into that school and work, it's just, they're finally putting me back on that 20 hours. So I'm going to start working more, making a little extra money. Maybe some of that can go towards the podcast. And otherwise, just keep studying, because we only have about a month left, really a month and a week maybe total.
Yeah.
So definitely just pushing through, getting all those good grades, and just getting ready to transfer to the next step, to a 4-year university.
Yeah, yeah. This year has flown by fast.
This semester. I always feel like the winter flies by faster than the spring semester.
Yeah, we're almost to 2025.
It's crazy.
And those in high school, 2020 class of 2025 will be in college next year. How about that?
Yeah, it's crazy when you think about it. Like, yeah, we've already been out for almost 2 years when it comes to spring. When it gets to spring, it'll be 2 years. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
All right, let's get into it.
Yeah, so Veterans Day, we're going to first jump into our stories here. Like, we have people, we have our friends who have gone into the military. We just like to share some things that we learned from them, some of their stories. And Alex, you want to start out with your
friends? Yeah, I have a brother-in-law.
Yeah.
And he's been in the military for 10 plus years. He's in the Army, and he has, I asked everybody, we both went out, we asked some of our closest friends who are in the military about their opinions on it, and we just asked for a basic story and just maybe a couple opinions on some questions I had asked them over the military. So I have my brother-in-law, his name is Robbie, and I'll leave it at that, I won't give out his full name. So I asked him about, let me see, oh, his quick experience. His father was in the military, so he joined the military, and sorry, I'm going to butcher this, he's not going to like this, I'm going to try my best, I'm not the best storyteller. He joined the ROT Reserve, he got a scholarship, so he joined. He spent 4 years at the oldest of the senior military colleges and raised his right hand in 2012, which sounds like forever ago. But let me see. And then he went, I remember when I first met him, he was at Fort Hood. And that's, by the way, the largest military base in the world. It's crazy big. You got to go there sometime if someone will get you to go in.
For sure.
And then he transitioned to Adjutant General Corp, or human resources, and he's kind of built a life. Like, I'm gonna keep it short. Like, he built a life from he started in, like, basic on, went to the military, became human resources, and has built a career off of, like, basically helping other soldiers, like, get their life together, basically. And I know I'm, like, butchering that story, but it's like this, even simpler terms, it's like he got in. Do you know this? Like, I'm sorry, maybe I can you help me with this?
No, I mean, he came into the Army and he loved it. I mean, he you could see from his story that he wrote. He wrote this long, long letter. Like, I appreciate this because it's very good, and I hope we get to share this with you all in the future. But he came in and he worked at Fort Knox and Human Resources Command, and he helped people, like Alex said, to get into the better jobs, and he researched with the recipients that identified as all different races and tried to make it more free, more, how do you put it, more available to all races inside the military. And
they even did more research on, I was reading the World War One Distinguished Service recipients. There were certain people who didn't get the Medal of Honor, because of their race, and they were given the second highest medal because of their race, because at the time there was some discrimination, and so they actually went back in and they gave them back the Medal of Honor because that they deserved it for their heroism.
Mm-hmm.
Which is super honorable. I think that's awesome. I didn't even know that they did stuff like that, like going back in and like giving people higher medals.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, he had a mission when he went in, and I think that's beautiful, because he loved his job as a military. What branch did he go into?
It's Army.
Yeah, the Army. So he loved his job, and he even said that we asked him, what would he go back and do this again when he went into the military, and he said
of do course. It. He said, like, of course.
So the main reason was being that, so whenever you go into the military, you have benefits that you get, and it's entirely plausible to say that America is one of the best places to have a military job. I mean, you look at the amount of benefits from the GI Bill, and you get to have your college paid for after you serve amount of time. I think that's very valuable for those that don't know where they want to get, what they want to do in the future, and just serving for your country, getting your life straight in the country. I mean, that's what we learned from him. He said that for people that don't know.
Yeah, we've gotten from, like, everybody. I asked a man named Ben and a man named Nathaniel, if you do not know what you want to do with your life and you're going in, and even from what I've met from my best friend Javier, or And you, if you don't know what you want to do, they've all joined the military, and it's supposed to, like, give them, like, you know, purpose. And even if I've read Nathaniel's, and I know Nathaniel's has a little bit of a different story, but from what I've gotten from Mosley, if you really don't have any idea what you want to do, the military can give you a job and a purpose for the time that you're in.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the reason why I wanted to go too. I mean, I always loved America, and I said, this is one thing I think I can do. I can serve my country. And I wanted to do it, and I said, maybe I can serve my country in a different way. I want to contribute in the medical field. I mean, we have so many homeless people. We have sick people, the obesity epidemic and diabetes, like all these diseases. I think I can contribute that way. But when you're serving your country, you're doing it at the highest standard. You're protecting the individuals of this country.
Yeah.
And that's that purpose right there. I mean, anyone can do that, and it's so valuable that I think if you don't know what you're doing, that's the main thing that could get you on the right track.
Yeah, and main thing is, like, there's so many benefits to it. I know people like Nathaniel and even my brother-in-law, they're going to school and they're learning. You can go to school and learn, like, you can learn and serve your country at the same time is what I'm trying to say. And you can also get retirement benefits. The amount of benefits when I look deeper into the military there's a ton, and I don't even realize them from someone who is a civilian when looking into it. All the retirement plans, all the benefits, the health care, everything. There's so much that you can get from the military. Like, I think it's awesome of, like, the amount of benefits you can have.
Mm-hmm. You can make a career out of it. I mean, it's
a good career.
You serve your country and you get so much back. I mean, this is the only country that you can do that.
It's also one of the only militaries. I mean, maybe in Europe you can, but when looking at most militaries, I feel like the benefits are probably slim to none. This is one of the only countries where the benefits are actually really good.
Mm-hmm. Very good, very good. I mean, I just want to share a story of a good friend, one of my best friends in high school. His name is Jacob. He also said that if you don't know, he said that he didn't have an idea of what he wanted to do in high school. And he said he found, hey, why not just join the military, because I don't know what I want to do. So, and he found his purpose there. I mean, he said that the all the great benefits that you get is all that we've mentioned before. But the thing that he valued the most was the great mindset and discipline that he got from it. And that first 6 months of boot camp, he said he had Marine combat training and in the schoolhouse for his job, MOS. He said that it was the toughest days because he was learning how to become a Marine and just getting yelled at all the time. And getting yelled at all the time, you mean you're basically dehumanized for a moment in that time period. Like, you're dehumanized, but you have people around you that are also dehumanized, and you get into that teamwork, and you get that build, and you develop a team, and you realize that you're not going to get out of this unless you work with that team. And that's what he said that he realized. And then he said that dehumanization was the toughest days of his life made him a better person in the future. And I think if you're going to the military, you're going to become a better person if you stick with it, and if you just say, hey, I'm going to get through this, and I'm going to get through this training. I mean, you'll definitely become better in a sense of mental strength if you go through that.
In a way, agree with that. I think it's all on your attitude. Someone, like, reading Nathaniel's perspective, there's a lot of people that seem to have bad leaderships or bad attitudes towards it. They're stuck in there. You know, maybe they regret a little bit, but if you have a good attitude about the whole thing and you keep your head up high, that they can go really well. If you think about it in a poorly stated way, it's obviously it's going to suck. If you think about, like, my own job of working at Whataburger, and I'm not comparing the two, like, realistically. I'm just saying, like, I have to go into my job even though I don't like it, and I have to go, well, if I just keep my head up high, I'm getting paid. They work with my hours. You know, they're supporting me. So that it's the way I got to think about it. It's kind of the same way I see Nathaniel saying that you guys, like, same way with the military. You know, if you keep your head up high, it's going to work out.
Mm-hmm. And the mindset is all that you need in that situation. It's not how much strength you have. I mean, any scrawny kid, I mean, the muscle will come with the work, but the mindset is what determines how far you get through that process.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And I mean, anybody with the mindset that can go through the military, it just happens to be those that actually have the mindset that get through it. And I think that's what Jacob learned. He said that if you go through the military, you'll come out in a better shape. You just have to have the mindset. And he said that he learned the mindset and discipline from the military. And I think that's a valuable thing that he said that he would learn. So I even say that you can learn it from the military, because you're around people that are also like-minded. They want to get through it. They want to get into discipline. Military, the one thing I think of is discipline. The one thing I think of is that uniform. Everybody's together. Everybody's in the same mindset. Everybody has to work together as a team in unison and to get the final goal. So discipline.
The amount of jobs also, like, you think, well, everyone thinks of that infantryman, Marine, but you don't have to always be them. For even the infantry Marine, there's different positions in the Marines. You have, you know, Marines, Army, Coast Guard, National Guard. There's Space Force, Air Force. Did I get them all? Navy. Got them all. There's so many different. If you want to be on the water, of course, why don't you join the Coast Guard or the Navy? And if you want to be in the air, you might as well join the Air Force or Space Force, even though Space Force isn't in the space yet. Mm-hmm. If you want to be on the ground, you're going to be in the Army or the Marines. And there's just different, like, jobs. There's so much area to go in. Like, there's so many different directions, I would say, to go for when, like, if you want to find purpose in, like, different things. Yeah. There's so many branches to go out.
Yeah. And you could even say that, like, there's so many branches, right? You'll have so much fun doing your work in there, because he said that, Jacob said that he had so much fun. He got to shoot machine guns, fly in helicopters, and travel the world.
I mean, of course,
for sure is very fun to do.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's, like, there's fun parts, and of course there's the more serious parts. You're gonna deal with, I think, like, tough times. Not every part, of course, the military has to keep you tough. You're gonna go through a really hard, like, basics, and I've heard from all of them, like, the basics, like, once you get through that, it does get easier. But the basics is probably the toughest part, because they have to get you, like, into that military form, and mentally and physically. And I think that probably does take a toll on a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Of course, me and you have not been through it. I wish there was
I wish they were here to tell the story.
Well, I wish they were here, but I wish in a way that there was a way we could do it without joining the military. And I'm dead serious on this. Like, I wish so I could experience what they go through for basics without, in a day's form. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just so I could experience what it's like and be like, oh, okay. Because yeah. I know, like, we're talking about this now, but no, we have no idea what they really went through at basics. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we could take one of the people, like Jacob. He could come over here and say, hey, I'm going to give you the training for one day, and we're going to make you do all the push-ups, the sit-ups, the miles that we run, and the discipline. Like, the amount of sleep that they get each night, they get less than 5.
Well,
that's what I've heard.
Yeah, and I've just heard, like, the mental, you know, you have this drill sergeant maybe screaming at you as you didn't tie your shoes correctly even, and, like, every little, you know, the thing with the military is the attention to detail, to your uniform, to your gun, to cleaning it, the attention to detail for everything is so perfect. Mm-hmm. So, I definitely, like, you're mentally, like, they try to make you, like, a perfect soldier, right? Mm-hmm. Sorry, that was a voice crack. Gosh. yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, these stories are valuable. You have another story from Ben.
Yeah, Ben, he joined the Air Force. I asked him a couple questions. I know he's very new into the military. I got a good perspective. It was kind of similar. I wish I could reread it. I don't remember most of it, but I was very, like, thankful for Ben's response. It was, I would say, somewhat similar to Nathaniel's, because they're both very new into the military, like 1 or 2 years in. I think Nathaniel's 2, maybe Ben is about 1 year in. Maybe you can correct me on that. But, yeah, they're both very similar in that, like, you remember Nathaniel's story. I didn't get much of a basics story from Ben. I just got his, I asked everybody this. I asked their opinion on the military spending. I got quite a few answers on that. And so I can't remember, like, Ben's story super well.
What were the main themes of, like, military spending? Like, should we increase military spending? Like, what were their thoughts?
As we know from my brother-in-law, Robbie, he thought that, like, it should be increased on the basis of, like, what they're increasing. I can read it to you. It's a very, like, great answer. He says, I think there's a lot a fat in the government that needs to be trimmed. I don't think the military is frivolous with the budget that they're given. Ships and planes are expensive, but necessary. I think Congress, who controls the purse, which is like all the money, right, needs to pass a budget on time every year without adding other controversial bills into it. Then I think depending on what is needed for the military each year is what should be funded. Do we need increased funding for new ships or tanks this year, or can we lower funding because we don't need to spend so much? It really just depends, which I think is true. Like, it really just depends on like what year is, what's happening in the world. Do we need to increase, type of deal? And you have to realize, like, I didn't think about it that much into, this was my main question was going into military spending, was like how much goes into it. I didn't realize, like, I thought for some reason, and I'm just kind of an idiot for this, but I thought like the retirement plans came from the federal government, not the military. So, I mean, it kind of all comes from the same place, right? Federal government. But, like, I didn't realize that the military spending also goes towards that. Like, yeah. I didn't realize how much different parts of the military spending goes to different parts, like retirement and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's...
Which is a lot. It's 2.3 million retired soldiers. So.
2.3 million retired soldiers. And I think it's you have to spend money on them. Like, you can't cut that cost because they are valuable members of the military. I mean, once they come out, you have to support them. I think that should remain in the budget. And the others, the variable expenses like ships, tanks, I mean, we want to have the newest technology, right? Develop them. I think you should spend money to get the newest weapons, get everything new so that you have the upper hand in any conflict, but you're not just to have the upper hand, but maybe you won't use them, but just to have the upper hand, then don't spend as much on bureaucracy. Like you have so many hierarchies. I mean, you can have so many hierarchies, but then if you have those hierarchies, try to limit the branching. Just make it more efficient in that branching so that you can reduce the amount of cost. I mean, it's complicated, but I think that bureaucracy is a big complication in a lot of branches within government. And we can go into more on that topic in the bureaucracy episode, but I think it's an unnecessary expenditure when you have too many employees in that hierarchy than you need.
Yeah, and I kind of got the same answer from Nathaniel that, like, just fat needs to be trimmed. There's some things in there. I didn't get any specifics, like, from either of them of, like, what needs to be trimmed. And I don't expect, like, an answer because at the end of the day, like, I don't know what needs to be trimmed. I don't know. I don't see the budget of, like, what everything is going to, you know, but I do bet that there are some things that they could trim around the corners to make things not so bad. What do you think, though, about I've seen recent polls of, like, they are expanding, not the DI, but, like, for people that are, as we've seen in America, there are unhealthy amounts of people, and the military needs people to join because of lower numbers. What do you think about that military lowering the standards?
I think it's sad. I mean, you have the strongest military for so long, and you're lowering standards, and it's going to become a weaker military. I mean, you can't survive off of a weak military. When you weaken your military, China, Russia, all these countries can come after you. I mean, we're the big player, right? Now we're going to be the small dog. We don't have the resources, so you have to start somewhere. I mean, take those people. If you can take these people and you lower your standards and you can rise them up to the same standards, I'm all for it. But you can't lower the standards of the highest amount, like, of training. All these people that come in, they have to, even though they're low standards, they have to be raised to the highest of standards that they can be.
I definitely agree. Like, in that last sentence, you were kind of saying that, like, these soldiers that come in, let's say they don't fit the standards, but we're going to make them over time be what the standard has always been. They're not going to come in being overweight and not lose the weight, right? They're going to come in and be a fit soldier that they're supposed to be, not still way overweight or underweight, or, you know, they're going to, the fit standards should stay the same. I understand of, like, lowering so we get more soldiers in, because we've obviously had a reduced amount of people wanting to join the military, so I can see why they would do this, but the still standard should be the same. Just make it so they can join, but it's maybe going to be a longer basics or something until mm-hmm. they've meet the requirements.
Yeah, and we have to solve the root of the problem. Like, go back. Why do people not want to join the military anymore? I mean, it's a publicity about the military. The media portrays it as, oh, it's a entity that is bombarding the rest of the country. It's the one that invades other countries and tries to take away the freedoms of other countries. Or that it's one of the hardest things to do in life. Like, the military is not good anymore. It's not viewed as one of the most valuable things in American society.
I think there's a lot of people that aren't tough enough. Like, in a sense, like, I've seen it from a lot. Like, I look around our society and I go, I think, like, maybe there's just a lot of people that are, like, scared of, like, because of how, like, the military is tough, and I'll give it that. Like, it is super tough. But, like, that aren't willing to take the risks or change who they are to, like, be on the same level of what the military wants you to be. And it's going to be tough to join, and I'm using that word, like, a lot. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's some people who don't want to be told what to do. Follow orders. That's a big problem in, like, today's. People don't follow the rules. People don't follow orders. So why would they join the military to do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a...
I think it's a big thing of, like, do my own thing. Like, there's a lot of people in this world who are self-centered and would rather do their own thing. And I know me and you are doing our thing, but, I mean, again, I have no problem joining. If there was a draft and I got drafted, I don't have a problem getting drafted. I'm here to serve my country. I love this country, and I'll join. I mean, if that's just the way it comes, my number gets pulled, I'll go. No, you're not going to, like, have me forced or, like, not forced, like, forcibly trying not to join or, like, run away or something. I'll join up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, we need to be less self-centered. We need to figure out why we want to contribute to America. I mean, it stems from patriotism too.
Yeah, I'd say lack of patriotism in the country.
Not many people. I mean, there's a group of people that love this country and want to contribute to it, but we're seeing that loss of the amount of people that are loving this country. We see a lot of people that are starting to dislike this country, speak against it, and it's growing. Like, that population is growing in America, where they say, oh, it's one of the worst countries in the world, or it's one of the it's we could improve the country, but they're saying it's one of the countries that oppresses the people. It's one of the countries that has the worst elections, the worst people.
In that sense, there's a lot of, it's easier to hate something than there it is to show, like, how much love you can have for something. I'm not calling America perfect by, like, any means. Of course, countries have problems, but it's fixed, you know, over time. It's had 200 plus years, and it's been fixing things. No country is perfect. Go find me one. I'll join it if it's perfect. That, like, over time, I mean, like, of course the country's not perfect. There's going to be holes and hills that the country's had to go through, and then there's middle parts where it's fine. And, you know.
Mm-hmm. And when you have patriotism, you're going to want to serve your country anytime. I mean, we both love this country, and I think love for a country is the definition of patriotism. If you don't love your country, then you're not going to serve your country, and you're going to be more likely to be against it, then why are you living in the country? I mean, if you don't love the country, then vote to change it, but still serve your country because you're a citizen. And you love the country because you can change this country. I mean, this is the only country that you can change. So if you don't love this country, then what other country can you love? In many countries, you can't vote or change what the society is. But this one you can. And it's that love for this country that I have because you can change this country. You can participate and you can do everything that you can inside your own little house, your life. You can do things in your life to change the future.
Yeah.
And this little thing that is called America is basically freedom.
Yeah.
And the freedom to make your decisions that could change the future of the country. I think that's what I love about it, and that's why I'm patriotic towards this country.
Yeah. I definitely would say, like, kind of getting back on more on topic, like, when you think about America, like, overseas, like, with our national interest overseas, going to other countries, having military bases in other countries, that it is a good thing in a sense, because we can kind of manage the world. And that's why I say we're kind of like the center sometimes, because we're managing the world. We have, you know, our naval ships going out to other countries protecting them. That's why I think China like hasn't taken Taiwan. Why? Because we have naval ships over there, and they know that like that's
kind of don't mess with us.
Yeah, don't mess with us kind of deal. Like we will, you know, we put ships through there to make kind of like show a message of force and strength. We also have like bases in Japan, South Korea to show force in Asia. We have bases, you know, in the Middle East to show force. We have bases in Europe. Mm-hmm. And I think this is like America's military is always like now at this point where it is like big brother, or you could call it like a father. Like it, you know, it manages all the other nations to get to align or get along, and doesn't work perfectly. You're going to have countries still go to war, but for the most part, it keeps, I think, some nations at a like a good length, like China. Like I definitely think like China would go to war with some nations right now, but they're cautious because of countries like America stepping in for Taiwan and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I don't think any country would want to go to the war with the U.S. I mean, you're stepping on a big crocodile whenever you go to the war with the U.S. So it's like it's a very big warning to all the nations. Hey, if you get on the wrong side of America, you're not going to have the good thing. And that's what keeps peace. I think if you have a big threat, a big guns to hold up, but you don't, but you're peaceful about it, I think people will, other countries will.
Well, align. And you see what happens. You know what happened after 9/11. We went in and we invaded and we found Saddam Hussein. We found everybody that was part of the 9/11 terrorist attack and killed him.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
like, don't mess with the. I mean, if you're going to mess with us, you better be ready for the wrath of the United States of America's military to come after you. That's all. Like, they were in the hiding for what, 11 years? That's got to not be a fun life, hiding from the United States government for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. And those people that spent their lives in Afghanistan and those countries, I mean, they're doing their job overseas to keep peace around the world.
And that's a hard job, being so far away. Yeah. And foreign country, like
it might not seem that they're doing like anything, like they might say, oh, I'm not doing this for Americans, right, because I'm all the way over there. But I think I have not spoken to one that's gone overseas yet. I mean, I have yet to speak to one, but if I were them in that situation, I would say I'm doing this to keep peace around the world, and that's why I'm here, and I'm in this situation because I want to help out, and I want to make sure that nations don't go to war together.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, like, anyone that does go overseas, you have to have, like, the most, uttermost respect, because they're doing the most amount, like, I would say, as a soldier, going overseas, you know, even the Navy guys that go out into seas, anybody, because you're so far away from the American homeland, you're, like, literally protecting it from, you know, outside reaches. You're far, far away, protecting it from this, you know, terrorism, or just keeping the peace of other nations for the sake of the United States and the world.
Exactly.
In a sense, so. Mm-hmm.
I want to bring one person on the podcast sometime, like, to share the story. I mean, I think it's very valuable, and I think it would be very fun, a fun day when we have one on. So, yeah, the last thing I would like to discuss is America's involvement in things that are controversial. Like, what do you think about the Vietnam War? What do you think about the Korean War, like their involvement of the U.S. and other wars? What do you think?
Man, so this is a tough question, but I think it'll be, I guess, somewhat controversial, but I don't think we should have gone to Vietnam. And Korea is a little bit better of an answer, because we actually had somewhat of success, I guess you could say, in Korea, because we made it a democratic state eventually with South Korea, and it's prosperous. It's done very well, right? Vietnam, we went in and we failed. Let's just be realistic. It was the North Vietnamese. They won. They did better. The farmers won. Mm-hmm. And it did, they took
still
over.
Communist,
we went over there. We thought we were going to like establish a democracy, or we're helping the democratic side fight off the communist side, right? And we lost. And we ended up losing a lot of troops for that. And I wouldn't say it's our job to always defend democracy, I guess, in a national interest. those countries need to figure it out for themselves what they're going to do. If they're going to turn communist, you can always have a coup and something happen and they can turn back over to democratic. It's not our position, in my opinion, to fight for everybody else's democracy.
I agree. I mean,
America did it for themselves. Yeah. They got a little help from France with some weaponry and stuff, but you do it yourself. Like, we left a monarchy, right, to get our own democracy and start our own nation. So if it's got to be the same for everybody else, in my opinion.
I agree. To some extent, I agree that nations should be able to defend their own democracy. And, I mean, we got aid from France during our revolution. I mean, there has to be some aid to those people that we have the same values with. I see the aid to Vietnam as a way of saying, hey, we support democracy, but I see that so many lives were lost, and I would like to understand more why we went in before we sent why we sent so many troops in.
Instead even drafted giving, so many.
Yeah, instead of giving, like, monetary aid or something that could have decreased the amount of lives lost.
Yeah, if we knew that somehow, like, because it basically feels like that the U.S. military was, like, the only hope to go in and make it a democratic state. If we knew that we were going to lose this war, I would say we should have never sent troops in because we lost so many troops. And, you know, I've heard stories and I've watched interviews from people from Vietnam War veterans, it sounds like hell on earth every time I listen to it. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't want any of them to have to go, or anybody to have to go through that. So yeah. I'd rather send no troops in than just give aid. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In terms of peace, I think that the U.S. should put bases across the whole world just so that they can keep peace between nations. That's a important thing. I mean, you have to be a peacemaker. I mean, the U.S. has the power to be a peacemaker. They should do that. In terms of the political interests, I think they should take a more isolationist approach because it's the own nation's sovereign right to be their own nation. The United States should respect that in a certain stance. But peacemaking, like keeping nations from warring, I think that's a valuable thing that the United States can do because when you have war, people will get killed and that's a lot of civilian damage. And I think the United States can prevent that when they have strength in other parts of the world. What do you think?
I completely agree.
Yeah. And we see that here. I mean, we see that in Puerto Rico. We have that in... we have that in...
I don't know why I said that. So funny.
South America, we have embassies all around. And that just takes... Well, not embassies, but bases there so that we can have strength down there so we keep peace.
And I mean, I kind of see what you're talking about with embassies. When I went to Tajikistan, I saw the U.S. embassy there. It looks like an actual fortress there. It's a compound. Like, nobody's getting in there but the United States citizens that need to get in there. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, even for U.S. citizens, when we travel, I mean, that's a safe location for U.S. citizens.
Yeah.
I think my dad went to the U.S. embassy once when he went on a trip and he almost got in trouble or something, and he was safe in the U.S. embassy when he went. So it's a safe place for people there.
Yeah, but to wrap it up, I would say just mainly, I know we got a little off topic here, and I'm sorry for like butchering some people's stories or forgetting them. My apologies, but I'm so thankful for everyone who wrote in and to everyone who is a serviceman or women, servicemen and women. I'm super thankful for everybody who has been in the military, served the military, protected us. We thank all of you on behalf of like me and Lucci. We thank y'all for everything y'all do for this nation, your time that you give to the nation, your time apart from this nation when you're serving overseas. We're just super thankful. Lucci, do you have anything to wrap it up?
Yeah, I mean, we have to take your generation that served and inspire the next one. I didn't see it as many people that were inspired to go into the military. I mean, a lot of people were like, oh, I don't know where I want to go, so I'm going to go into the military. We have to inspire more people to say, oh, yeah, I want to go into the military as a job. Because I think that was when I read the history that we've had in U.S. history, that was one of the things that people wanted to do not long ago. They wanted to go serve in the military and say, hey, this is something I want to do. I want to serve my country. I think that's very valuable to do today. We need to get more people, especially kiddos, to understand the values of this country and why serving this country in any way possible, not even the military, but in your profession, will help this country. Instill that in them and say, yes, we need to get you to serve this country, and here's why, and here's why you should love this country, and why you should, and then get them to serve this country, because that will help further the benefits of our children in the future.
Yeah.
So wrapping this up, I mean, we just filmed episode 15, and this is a part of the series on the sights of America. These are our sights on America, and we have so many ways for you to get our content. We are our Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and RSS, and we have social media.
Yeah, we're also on all socials. We got TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Find us basically anywhere you want to now. Definitely growing on TikTok if you really are interested and you want to see our best content and you want to get comments on there. Definitely you can look us up on TikTok. We got plenty of people over there commenting, following, liking. It's definitely our biggest grower, so if you want to support us, I would definitely would say TikTok would be the best.
Yeah. And yeah, thank you to all of the people that replied to us. I just want to say thank you again, and to especially my buddy Jacob. And you're amazing, man. Thank you.
Again, thank you, like, to Robbie, to Ben, to Nathaniel, all your stories. Like, at the end of the day, they were really great to get a better idea of what it's like being in the military, and just these perspectives are just, like, amazing to hear from. I definitely enjoyed reading every single one of them, and I was even more curious to ask, like, questions and just to get, again, an overall perspective of what it's like in there. And I definitely, like, I'm probably going to be reading these again tonight. I've been rereading these quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's wrap this up. I think this was a great episode on the military. Happy Veterans Day. You'll be seeing this shortly soon. This is the Sights On Podcast with Alex and Lucci. This is Sights On signing off.